This is Dale Cantrell, pastor of the Meridianville Holiness Church. Thanks for joining us for this look into God's Word as we try to gain a better understanding of God's will for us. Many of us at the Meridianville Holiness Church feel like God would be pleased with us sharing our faith with our community and surrounding area. I feel like if I knew the cure for cancer and did not share it, it would be like the four lepers of 2 Kings 7:9 who proclaimed, "We do not well to hold our peace." I hope that those in the hospital, nursing home, rehab, or wherever that can't get to where the Word of God has been delivered in person could benefit from this message. My text today is from Hebrews 5:11-14. It says, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Hebrews 5:11-14. In verse 11, he said, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing." Revelation 2:7 said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." You can see the senses leaving a person before they die naturally. I see the same kind of parallels in spiritual deaths. You can see a person's spiritual senses leaving them right before their spiritual death. The way that the senses work in the natural world is like the way the spiritual senses work in the spiritual world. I used to be a supervisor at the company I worked for, and at that time I had 13 men. One particular man I supervised just wouldn't listen to anything. It seemed like he thought he knew it all. I called him into my office and had him shut the door. I asked him if he had ever wondered why the Lord made us with two ears and just one mouth. He immediately dropped his head. I said, "You've heard this before, haven't you?" He nodded yes. I said, "I don't doubt if you hadn't heard it from your mama, your daddy, your first grade teacher, and everyone else that you've come in contact with." The end of the story is he never learned to listen. He is not with that company anymore. I have never interviewed anyone for a job who said to me, "I'm not any good. I'm a no count, and I don't intend to do anything." No, they tell you how wonderful and good they are. God has openings for people, but God only has full-time positions available. There are not any part-time positions needed in the ways of God. Just like the man I interviewed for a job, many want part-time, full-time pay for part-time work. My uncle years ago got used to hearing a fan when he went to sleep at night. He needed a fan to go to sleep by, but winter came in, and he still needed the fan, but he couldn't stand the air blowing on him, So he put it in the closet so he could still hear the noise, but didn't have to feel the wind from the fan. He wasn't hearing the fan and counting the revolutions of the fan blades. He was merely just listening to the racket. I think there's a difference between listening and hearing it way down deep in your heart. To me, it's not much about the outward ear as it is the inner ear of the heart. Husbands, have you ever had your wife tell you something, then have her tell you that you didn't hear anything that she just said? It seems to be similar with the Word of God. You preach and you see their eyes looking back at you, but you don't see any evidence that they heard any of it. I heard a joke about a doctor, a lawyer, and a preacher who went deer hunting. They all saw a deer at the same time. They all raised their guns at the same time. And evidently they all fired at just the same moment. When the deer fell, the lawyer said, "Got me a deer." The doctor said, "I wouldn't be so sure about that. I think I got the deer. And the preacher says, well, I hate to tell y'all, but I think I got the deer myself. About that time, the game warden walked up and he saw them arguing and he said, what's the discussion? What's the argument? And they said, we're trying to determine who killed this deer and we all think we did. And he said, well, maybe I can help you out. So he went over there and examined the deer and he came back real quickly and he said, the preacher killed the deer. And the doctor and the lawyer said, how can you be so sure? And he said, look at the wounds. It went in this ear and came out the other. So he knew that it must have been the preacher. No telling how many I've injured. Hopefully I haven't killed anybody, but the word of God going in one ear and out the other, because I've seen that many times. Dull of hearing. Most things that we don't make a habit of doing, we lose our skills. It gets dull. When we are having a conversation with someone, we're so ready for our turn to speak that we don't do a good job of listening. We can't wait for them to get through with what they're telling till we jump right in and tell them what's on our mind. The greatest compliment that was ever paid me was when one asked what I thought and attended to my answer. Henry David Thoreau, author. There is none so blind as those who will not listen. William Slater. There are people in church that can't hear it thunder. When you don't hear correctly, you misunderstand what's been said. I heard it said that hearing is the last sense that leaves someone right before they die. I have heard many accounts of people that could hear but couldn't move, speak, or anything else. I have already told you about the young man that was in the motorcycle accident, but it might be worth repeating again. This young man had a bad motorcycle accident, and they took him in the ambulance. They wouldn't expect him to live till they got to the hospital, but he did live. And they got to the hospital, and they were working on him, and the doctors and the nurses was around him, and he could hear them discussing his case. And he heard them say, he's not going to make it. Work on somebody else. He wanted them to work on him. He did want to live. And they would come back every now and then and check on him. The last time they came, they said, he's gone. Take him to the morgue. He said, I didn't want to go to the morgue, but I had no way of telling them that I was still living. They got a hold of his little bed and they started walking off with it. And he was struggling within himself to tell them that he was still living. And by the mercies of God, he involuntarily coughed. That's what you need to do. If you can hear the word of God, the last thing that goes spiritually or naturally or whatever is your hearing. If you can still hear the word of God, cough or do something. If you can't acknowledge the word of God, let people know that you're still living. I also heard a story of a man. He was an alcoholic, evidently, and he came down and he was in the hospital in the bed. And they was just looking for him to die. No hope. And there was friends and church members and friends of the wife that was gathered around. And they were asking God to spare his life. And miraculously, he came out of the coma. The way I understand it, while they were in there. And the minister told him and quoted the scripture to him and said, go your way and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you, or however it words it like that. And the man got out, and he did well for a while, but in a few days, he started back his old pattern, his old habit of drinking. And sure enough, just as the preacher told him, he wound back up in the hospital. They went back up there again, and he was laying there kind of in a coma state. But that's just another reason I think that hearing's the last thing to go, because he could hear them. He couldn't respond. And they began to talk to him, and tears began to roll down his face. But it was too late then. But he could hear them. That was the only part of him that could still function. Verse 12 says, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as one that has need of milk and not of strong meat. When the time that people should be spiritually mature, you still have to baby them. gray-headed babies. You ever seen any gray-headed babies? I was the oldest child in our family, and when it came time to give up the high chair and let my next brother occupy the seat, I had to get out. We have newborn spiritual babies that need the spiritual high chair and the spiritual milk, but can't get to them because of some spiritually immature person that still needs all of that and needs all of that attention. Verse 13 states that for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. We wouldn't think of letting a baby that was still on a bottle teach a class at school, but in the church we have people that have never reached maturity in their spiritual life, trying to tell everyone else how they should live and what they should do. Brothers and sisters, if your marriage is a wreck, then how are you going to tell someone else how to do in their marriage? If your finances are in shambles, how do you give financial advice to others? What qualifies you? But we have people in church ready to tell others how to do what they're not doing themselves. I used to work at a place, and I dreaded for football season to come. On Monday morning, they would stand around or sit around and talk about the football game that was played the day before. They would say things like, the quarterback should have done this, and the quarterback shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have threw to that guy. He should have went out of bounds. They went to analyze everything, seemingly. I would feel like telling them or asking them, how many downs have you taken a snap at quarterback position in the NFL? Never have done it, but they could tell everybody just how it's done. It reminds me of a lot of people. They want to tell you how to live your life spiritually, but their spiritual life is a wreck. I used to work for a company that sold parking lot sweepers and street sweepers and such. And I sold a sweeper to a man up north. I went up there, and I've never been too mechanically minded. I should have known all about the machine, but facts were I didn't. And I went up there, and the man, he owned some properties and some little shopping strips that he needed sweeping, and he bought this sweeper from me. He was convinced. He had signed the papers. We were on our way back to the motel I stayed at. He was going to drop me off, and he was driving the sweeper, and I was sitting in the passenger seat. And he decided to ask me a question. I don't remember what it was, something about the operation of the sweeper. He was looking at me, waiting on the answer, and driving, looking back at the road, and I told him, I said, I don't know. He was disappointed, I could tell in the way he looked. So he asked me another question. I had the same response, I don't. No. He asked me something about the hydraulics. And by that time, he was pretty disgusted with those I don't know answers. And I thought he was going to tear the contract up and the deal would be over. But instead, he looked at me and he said, you know, Watt, you either the biggest con artist I've ever met in my life, or you either the most honest man that I've ever met. I looked back at him and I said, I'm the real deal. If I know something, I'll tell you. If I don't know, I'll tell you that I don't know. I think that's good advice spiritually. If you're older spiritually and some younger newborn babe asks you a question, you don't know the answer, don't try to fake it. Don't try to just make an answer so you won't look bad. Look them in the eye and say, I don't know. You can come back and say, but I'll try my best to get you the answer. That's what I should have told the man in the sweeper. Anyway, I came back home. I was working in Huntsville, Alabama, and I came back home. And about 30 days later, the phone rang in the office, and they told me it was for me. They told me that it was this man on the line, and I prepared myself as I went to the phone, thinking that maybe his machine had torn up, and maybe he would need a loaner, or maybe his broom head had wore out and he needed another one. I answered the phone and he talked just a chit-chat, really nothing, just went on for about 20 minutes. And finally he said, Dale, could you do me a favor? And I thought, well, here it is. Here's when he asked me for the loaner or the Broomhead. And I said, I'll do the best I can. And he said, would you pray for me? I said, I sure will. He talked on about another 15 minutes. And at the end of that 15 minutes, he said, Dale, would you do me another favor? And I thought, well, I dodged the bullet the first time or two, but this is it. Now he's going to really ask me for something. And I said, I'll do the best I can. And he said, would you pray for my wife? Brothers and sisters listening, he wouldn't ask me to pray for nobody if I had shot him a line the first encounter with him. So just be real, be genuine. If you know something, tell people you know, and if you don't, tell them that too. Going back to verse 14, it says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I asked an older brother one time what would be his advice to a younger man, and he read me the scripture, Luke 1, 20 through 21, and he says, but ye, beloved, build it up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We have to be like the people that build up their bodies by exercising. We have to build up our spiritual selves by exercising our senses. How do we do that? We do that by handling the spiritual weights, the adversities, the trials, and the chastening of the Lord. If you had a barbell that didn't have anything on it, it wouldn't build you up very much. But once you start putting the weights on it, that's when you can feel effects and see the effects and know the effects. Build up ourselves by the hearing of the Word of God and putting it in our lives, by praying. That's another good way to build yourself up in the Lord. Up to this point, we've talked only about the sense of hearing of the spiritual senses. I see so many parallels between the natural senses and the spiritual senses. Both with natural death and spiritual death, you can see those senses leaving the person. Medical professionals can see when death is imminent. When my dad was dying, the hospice people could tell within hours of where he was in the death process. They could see the signs of death. It is the same with spiritual death. The Word of God will reveal, like an X-ray or an MRI or a CAT scan, things that could be deadly spiritually. Romans 8, 27 says, and he that searcheth the hearts, knowing what is the mind, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We've talked about the hearing of the senses. Now I'd like to tell you about the sin. People who began being able to see with their spiritual eyes lost that ability by failing to exercise it. People who at one time loved to go to church and could hardly wait to get there, get where they can't see the value of worship like they one time did. You hear them make comments like, I don't see why Brother Dale keeps harping on us to come to church. Friend, you one time could see. What has happened to your sin? Have you had your spiritual eyes removed like Samson, who had his natural eyes destroyed? Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaches. People are not coming to church. It's an epidemic. It's like the other broadcast that I had on excuses. I've heard about every excuse you could think of, but they're none any good. I knew a sister who wasn't coming to church, and I asked my wife to call her. And she told her that we missed her and we loved her. And she said, well, Sister Melinda, don't worry about me. I pray in the house, and I get down and I sing songs. I read my Bible. Friends, that's good to do that at home and have you a little devotional. But it's nothing that can replace coming to church and fellowshipping with the children of God. They're no lone rangers. We were meant to be a family. God wanted a family. If he opened up his billfold, if he had a billfold, which he don't, but if he did, and he had a family picture in there, would you be in the picture? Genesis 2:18 said, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. Up until then, God had looked and said it was good at all the things he'd made. But God thought it not good for man to be alone. Part of our spiritual sin is connected to our remembering. As we start to forget the good things that God has done for us, our eyesight is leaving us little by little. 2 Peter 1:9 says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin." What if you are struck blind right now? Wouldn't that be awful? Remembering is so important and forgetting is so dangerous. Let us talk about the sense of feel. I remember when the old children of God would say that they had a feeling. Sometime it would be to give someone money, or they would feel a burden to pray for someone. I knew a brother who was a barber. Sometimes he had to go to the funeral home and cut a deceased man's hair. He said the dead man never one time complained. They never told him it was gapped or too short or it hurt him in any way. If you couldn't feel naturally, you wouldn't know when to remove your hand off of a hot stove and you would get burned. If you took your hand and struck me in the face, I would certainly feel it. But when I die, if I died while your hand was in motion, I would be dead and wouldn't feel anything at all. Let's take the sense of smelling next. It probably doesn't seem as important as the sense of seeing, hearing, or feeling. But if you can't smell right now, then your taste is not right. Just to prove it, just try eating an apple while you're smelling an onion and see how your apple tastes then. Ephesians 5:26 said that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the word. If we don't wash with water naturally, we will at some point begin to stink. If we don't get under the word and let it wash us, we will begin to stink spiritually. Just like if we had bad breath or body odor, people probably wouldn't say anything to us, but they would put some distance between you and me. You think, why did they not get close to me like they used to? Oh, friend, they would still like to, but they can't get any closer because of the odor you're putting out spiritually. I don't have a keen sense of smell, but it seems like my wife has one of the most sensitive smells of anyone on planet Earth. But my sense of smell is not that great. I've already spoken about the garbage can in my office. Sometimes my wife will come in the office and want to know what that smell is. Well, I don't know because I've been in there with it for a few days. That's the way it is when you're life begins to smell offensively, spiritually. You may not smell it because you've been close to it for so long, but the word of God will reveal it. Let's move on to the last sense, the sense of taste. I've already spoken about the sense, importance of the sense of taste in another message where I was talking about being hungry. 1 Peter 2:1-3 says, "Wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Once you get a taste of how gracious God is, nothing will ever satisfy you any longer. Talking about the sense of feeling. One time my wife asked me if we could give some people some money before I left on a company trip. Before I left on a company trip, they had asked us to submit a slogan for 1981. And we went to the meeting, and they got up, and there was banners all around. He said, "Someone here is one." My wife asked me before I left, though, if we could give some people $25, and I said, "Yeah." So we got down to the meeting, and they said, "Someone's won $25 for the winning slogan," and there's banners all over. But I didn't look because I didn't think my slogan could have a chance of winning. He said he's going to put the money back in his pocket. I decided I might better look. So I looked up there, and it said, "Second to none in 81. That was my slogan. I got the $25. You know God had to help me win with that slogan. I got back home, and my wife acted like she was dreaded telling me. And she said, "Dale, I didn't give them $25. I gave them $50. And I said, "I've got you covered." Now, friend, don't laugh at $25 in 1981. That would buy you nearly a week's worth of groceries. My prayer today is that we can all make it. May God wonderfully bless you until we meet here next time at the same time. My prayer to God is that as many as can will make it. Please phone, text, or email any comments to Dale Cantrell, 256-508-4410, or email me at dalecantrell2@gmail.com. That's DaleCantrell, the number 2, all lowercase, @gmail.com. Meridianville Holiness Church is located at 1285 Steger Road in Meridianville, Alabama, 35759. But any notes or letters, comments should be sent to 278 Priest Lane, Hazel Green, Alabama. If you do not live near the Meridianville, Alabama area, but would still be interested in attending a service near you, then contact me, Dale Cantrell, and I will get you the nearest church location closest to where you live. If you want to come and attend church at Meridianville Holiness Church and you want to leave after singing is done, just ease on out the back, friend. We won't get hurt at you. You can come stay as little as long as you like. Please come and meet us. Worship with us. May God wonderfully bless you.